Does anybody know, I'll ask you a trivia question here. How many people know who wrote the book of 1 John? Who wrote it? How'd y'all know that? That's right. He wrote the book of John. John, the Apostle John, not John the Baptist, the Apostle John, the one of the 12. And he also wrote the book of Revelation and, of course, the Gospel of John. And so he did a lot of writing. And in chapter number one, just a little bit more, Rob, up here. In chapter number one, John instructed us to walk in light. And in chapter two, he instructed us to walk in love. And now, as we move our way through, about midway through chapter two, the Apostle John is going to turn his attention to the subject of truth. We need to walk in truth. Why is that so important? Well, let's look at verse 18. 1 John 2:18. Let's see why it's so important that we walk in truth. It says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now," he said, "even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, then they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." And so why is it important to walk in truth? He said there are many antichrists in the world. We're going to talk about that in a moment, what that means. There are many antichrists in the world. Then skip down to verse 26. Notice what their goal is. Verse 26, he says, "These things have I written unto you concerning them that," what? Seduce you. Now, you know, the goal, that word seduce means to lead away. Their goal is to seduce Christians from the truth, to lead us away from the truth of God. Now, let me explain this thing about Antichrist for a moment. When the Bible speaks of Antichrist, there are three different meanings. You have to look in the context to see which meaning is the meaning of Scripture. For example, the Bible will use the term Antichrist sometimes speaking of a spirit that is in the world that opposes or denies Jesus Christ. So it's a spirit in the world that seeks to oppose or deny Christ. It's Antichrist. Then also sometimes the word is used of false teachers who embody this spirit. And then sometimes it will speak of a person who will lead the entire world one day in a rebellion against Jesus Christ. And it's this spirit of Antichrist that is behind every cult, every false doctrine, every religious system that substitutes other things in place of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, folks, there is no substitute for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. There is no substitute. You can play church. That's not a substitute, is it, Pastor Rob? You can get baptized by every church in town. You can get baptized in every lake in town. You can get baptized in every pond in town. You can even go out to the Atlantic Ocean and get baptized. And you know what? That will not substitute a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It will not. You can join every church in town, and it will not substitute a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Clayton was telling me yesterday, he's been reading a book, and it was kind of neat. It's just the thought about that off the top of my head just now. But he was telling me this: the basic premise of the book is the guy is talking about how that so many times when we talk to people and we try to witness, we talk about church or we talk about Christianity or we talk about religion. And the guy brought out in the book, did a survey, and he just went to random people. I think you said at the mall. Is that right? Like 50 people at the mall, and he asked them, "What's your opinion of Christianity?" and he got almost all negative responses. Then he asked 50 different people, I guess, what is your opinion of Jesus Christ? And every one of them had a positive opinion of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ has a very good testimony, and Jesus Christ has a very positive testimony. Unfortunately, many times Christianity does not. That's why we need to understand there is no substitute for a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Antichrist means anti. What does anti mean? Exactly. It means against. So if I'm anti-Christ, that means I am what? I'm against Christ. But did you know the word anti? Did you know that that could also mean instead of? Anti can also mean instead of. Think about that. Instead of Christ. Ha! Isn't that how Satan works today? He won't always come right out and blatantly oppose Christ. But if he can simply substitute other good things in place of Christ, then he has succeeded. It's like if you take a wrapper and you put on the outside of the wrapper, you write in big words, poison. How many people are going to partake of that? Not very many. But now if you were to take that same poison, put it in a nice slick candy bar wrapping, you know what? Make it look like chocolate. Of course, I'm not one to like chocolate, but a lot of people are. And you take it, make it look like chocolate, put it in a nice wrapper. Man, you might get some people to take that. And that's exactly what the spirit of Antichrist does. The spirit of Antichrist. Let me ask you something. Do y'all think that there's a spirit of Antichrist that's working in the world today? All you got to do is turn on the TV, right? It's going to keep gaining steam, by the way. Sometimes people think it's going to get better. The Bible says evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Some of the last words that Paul ever wrote Timothy is that. He said evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so that spirit of Antichrist is going to keep gaining steam, until finally one day, the Bible calls him the man of sin. The Bible calls him the son of perdition. And he's going to appear. Many times we refer to this man as the Antichrist. Because this man is going to fully embody the spirit of Antichrist. And except for a small remnant of believers, this man, along with who the Bible identifies as the false prophet, this man, the Antichrist, along with the false prophet, are going to lead the world in a total rebellion against God, against Christ, against the Bible. They're going to lead the world in pagan worship. He's basically going to lead the world in pagan worship of himself. The Bible says that he's going to declare himself to be God. And he is going to lead the world to bow down to him. The false prophet is going to imitate the work of the Holy Spirit, and the false prophet's going to point people to the Antichrist. And the Bible says that the whole world is going to bow down, and they're going to worship him and worship his image. But let me reiterate that Satan's goal is to seduce Christians away to follow his error, his substitutes, and his counterfeits. So how does a Christian win in this struggle against Satan? How do we keep ourselves from getting sucked into the spirit of Antichrist that's working in the world today? But real quickly, keep your bookmarker here. Go to Revelation 13. I want to show you this spirit of Antichrist. Look at Revelation 13. Sorry to complain, Mike. I still can't hear, man. Yeah. Revelation 13. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if it's working. Revelation 13. All right, let's look at verse number 4. All right, look at it with me. It says, and they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? The beast there is a reference to this man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist. The dragon is a reference, as we know, is a reference to Satan. So Satan gives power to his man of sin, the Antichrist, just as God the Father gave power to Jesus Christ here on this earth. Satan imitates the work of the Father, gives power to the, not Jesus Christ, the Antichrist. And then look at verse number 5. It says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given unto him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose name." Now look at that. "All that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world." Look down at verse number 11. Skip down there. "And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and he causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed." And notice, this is, we call him the false prophet. By the way, did you notice an unholy trinity here? Satan always imitates the work of God. And so you got the dragon who imitates the Father, you've got the Antichrist who imitates the work of Jesus Christ, and you got the false prophet who imitates the work of the Holy Spirit, an unholy false trinity. Look at verse number 13. It says, "And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast," make an image to him, "which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." Wow. You know what, folks? Listen. So much for the whole idea of, well, you know what? This teacher over here, you know what? He did great miracles. Man, I saw him heal people, and I saw him do this, and I saw him do that. He's got to be of God. Look how God's blessing him. Do you see how that is a very shallow way to look at things? You know, that's a very shallow way to say, well, you know, God's blessing him. It must be of God. Well, can't you see how people could look at the false prophet and say, man, he's doing great wonders. He makes fire come down from heaven. He's doing miracles. Man, God's blessing him. Well, we got to be careful, don't we? Because Satan wants to seduce Christians. He wants to deceive them. How do we keep from getting sucked into this thing? How do we keep from getting sucked into the spirit of Antichrist that's working in the world today? Go back to 1 John 2 and let me show you. Let's go back there. 1 John chapter 2, and this is the subject at hand. 1 John 2, verse number 18. "Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time." Verse 19, he says, "They went out from us." Now notice this, they went out from us, but they were not what? Of us. Now the us, the way I look at that is John's writing, and he includes himself in that. So he says, he personally knows some of these people, and he says they went out from us. So to me here, the us clearly is a reference to some type of local body of believers, kind of like Crossroads. And John is writing to these, to this group. And the false teachers that were propagating their Antichrist message. And again, doesn't necessarily mean they were coming out and just blaspheming Jesus. Doesn't mean they were just out there opposing Christ. It means that maybe they were just substituting, like the Judaizers did. Remember the Judaizers told the Gentile believers at Antioch, they came down from Jerusalem and they said, you have got to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses or you're not saved. Is that true or false? That's false. But they weren't bad-mouthing Christ. They claimed to be believers in Christ. They were simply substituting other things in place of a relationship with Christ. They were saying, yeah, we love Jesus, and yeah, he's good and everything, but that's not enough. You need to also be circumcised. You need to also keep the law of Moses. See, they were antichrist in the sense that they were putting things in place of Jesus Christ. So these people are doing the same thing. They are propagating this message, and it's interesting to me, though, that it seems that they got into trouble when they left the confines of their local assembly. He says they went out from us. He says, but they were not of us, for if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. Let me just say this to you, that that God has provided for us an umbrella of safety to protect his people from error and from false doctrine and to ground people in the truth of God's word. What is that umbrella? Well, I want you to take your Bible. Go back to chapter 1 real quick. Chapter 1, verse 6. Chapter 1, verse 6. All right? Look at this. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But now look at this. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have what? Fellowship with who? One with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. I want you to do this with me. Go over to, go back to 1 Timothy real quick. 1 Timothy. Keep your bookmarker here. I want to show you an important verse. 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Chapter 3. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, and let's go to verse 15. 1 Timothy 3:15. 1 Timothy 3:15. All right, Paul says to Timothy, but if I tarry long, he just got done giving him qualifications for pastors and deacons. And now in verse 15, he says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And notice he says the church is the pillar. Say it with me. It's the what? Pillar and ground of the truth. I'm telling you flat out, if we want to keep from getting sucked into the spirit of Antichrist, you know what? We need to unite ourselves with a Bible teaching, Bible preaching church that exalts Jesus Christ and him alone. They're not putting things in substitute in place of Jesus Christ. That a church that believes that Christ is enough. And you know what? We need to stay in fellowship with a local, Bible-believing, doctrinally sound local church. It's the local church that's the pillar and ground of the truth. A pillar means a post, a support. The word ground means basis. It means immovable. And so the church is the support. I'm looking at these beams, these posts that are holding up the balcony. How would y'all like it if we remove the post up there? We got a bunch of people up in the balcony. If I remove the post, what would happen to you guys? Yeah, they wouldn't like it either down here, by the way, the ones under you. They wouldn't care for that either, would they, Rob? What do we call that, Rob? Weight-bearing, right? Those are weight-bearing posts. Those aren't just for looks, right? Right. So these posts are holding up the balcony. The Bible says that the church is the pillar. It's the ground of the truth. The church is the support and the very basis of that truth. That's what the word means. Ground means basis. So what's he saying? Without the local church, then truth is truth. Truth doesn't change. Truth is truth no matter what. All right? But without the local church, then what Paul is teaching is that there's no pillar. There's no support to hold up the truth. Let me tell you something. Our job as a church, we are to hold up the truth of God to this community. And in the Christian life, if you're not part of a Bible-believing local church, then what happens is your own life, you're going to become very susceptible to lies and to the counterfeits of Satan. Go to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4. You know who cults prey on, false religions? You know, you got a lot of cults and false religions out there. Do you know who they prey on? I'm going to tell you where they really make their living. They make their living on people who are disgruntled and out of sorts, and they've quit going to church. That's where they make their living right there. They're not outreaching new people. They come along and they say, hey, we've got something different than what you are a part of. And they suck them in with their flowery words. They suck them in with their speeches. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at that. Go to chapter 3 first. Chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Did you see that? False religion has a form of godliness. Oh, it looks good on the outside, but they deny the power thereof. Do y'all know who the power is? The Bible says Jesus Christ, the power and wisdom of God. You want to know what the power of God is? I'll tell you exactly who it is. It's Jesus Christ. And they deny the power thereof. That's Antichrist. They deny that Christ is enough. And when you deny that Christ is enough, you deny the power thereof. I don't care how religious you are, how slick you look. When you can have a form of godliness, but if you do not accept and believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, then you have turned away from the truth of God. Amen? Look at verse number, look at number 5 again. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Look at verse 7. Ever learning. You got these cults out here, man. They're ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do you want to know why they can't come to the knowledge of the truth? Because they won't confess and believe that Jesus Christ is enough. They try to substitute things in place of Christ. If you study the history of cults, and I found that fascinating in college years ago when I studied that, and if you study the history of cults and of anti-Christ religions, if you will, they don't believe Christ is enough. But if you look at that history of those cults, you'll find that usually the founders of those cults started out in a local church, but they became discontent, disgruntled, and left the local church. And then they go and prey on people that are in that same condition. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Go forward one chapter. Here we have another example of this. Look at verse number 2. He tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Man, stick by the stuff, Timothy. Just keep preaching the word. Verse number 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust. Remember he said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. We read that this morning. Notice he says that the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. After their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Scratch my back. Make me feel good. Tell me something that'll make me feel good. Verse number 4, and what's the result here? Notice they leave the local church, they chase after these false teachers, and the result is verse number 4, he says, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. In this age, I firmly believe, and I have not changed my belief in these many years, I believe today God works through the local church. The Apostle Paul was sent out from a local church, church at Antioch, to go out and start other local churches. The church is God's pillar, he said, that holds up the truth. So, Christian, my encouragement to you, if you don't want to get sucked in by that spirit of Antichrist. And it doesn't have to be our church. Our church isn't the only good church. But you know what? You need to get involved in a local church, and you need to stay right with your local church. And if the time comes when you can no longer fellowship, you can no longer fellowship in a Bible-believing local church for whatever reason, then my advice to you is find another one, join that one, and get involved in that local church. When you simply stop going anywhere, Satan can get his foot in the door. And he can feed you some lies, and he can seduce you from the truth. So let's go back to 1 John 2, and let's read that verse again. Let's just kind of let that sink in, what we just learned. Let's let that sink in. How do I keep from getting sucked in by that spirit of Antichrist that's in the world? Well, how do I do it? Verse 19. Man, I need to stay with the flock, man. I need to stay with the disciples of Christ. I need to stay connected to my local body of believers. Look at verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be manifest that they were not all of us. If we read on in verse number 20, he says, but you have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Hey, have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Then you got the Father too. Amen. Praise the Lord. These believers were in a position to overcome the spirit of Antichrist. Why? Look at verse 20 again. He says, you have an unction from the Holy One, and you, what's the next phrase? Know all things. As we mentioned, the spirit of Antichrist is one of deception. Why? Because it's driven by Satan. What did we learn this morning, John 8:44? What's the character of Satan? Somebody tell me. We read it. He is a liar. He's a liar. There's no truth in him. He's a liar, and he's the father of all lies. The Bible says that Satan abode not in the truth because there's no truth in him. We read it this morning. How many of you all remember that? How many of you are like, man, I remember that, Pastor Dan? And what about last Sunday? Do you remember last Sunday? Well, we won't go there. Satan's main business, listen, I'm telling you, Satan's main business and his main strategy is to hide the truth. And he wants to sell and market his lies. And if he can do that, he can keep people in bondage. And Romans 1:25 says that he changes the truth of God into a lie. Is that not what he did with Eve in the garden? He just changed it up a little bit, didn't he? He took God's words and just changed them up a little bit. He loves to do that. He changes the truth of God into a lie. 2 Corinthians 4:2 talks about how that Satan handles the word of God deceitfully. Hey, does Satan know? Does he know the Bible? Oh, yeah. Remember he quoted it to Jesus in an effort to get Jesus to sin? Oh, he knows the Bible. Problem is, he doesn't rightly divide the word of truth, does he? The Bible teaches us that he handles the word of God deceitfully. He hinders, Galatians 5:7, Paul said, who is he that has hindered you from obeying the truth? Satan hinders Christians from obeying the truth. He deceives people into not receiving the love of the truth, and as a result, 2 Thessalonians 2 says they're damned. He turns people's ears. We read it. He turns people's ears away from the truth. 2 Timothy 3:8 says that he corrupts men's minds to resist the truth. 2 Peter 2 says that Satan has false teachers that speak evil of the way of truth. So how do we as Christians overcome the corruption and the lies and the deceit of Satan? How do we keep ourselves free from that bondage? Well, there's only one way, and that is you got to know and you got to stand on God's truth. You shall know the truth. We hammered it all last month. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. That's right. The truth is what sets you free. By the way, what is the truth? What's God's truth? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Would you all agree that Jesus is the truth? He is the living truth. But then we also, Jesus made this statement. He said, Father, he said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So Jesus is truth, and would you guys agree, this is truth. So we have the living word, Jesus, and the written word, the Bible. We overcome Satan by submitting ourselves to the authority and to the lordship of Jesus Christ, and then we resist Satan by standing on God's word. The result, James 4:7 tells us, that we resist Satan that way and he has to flee. He cannot handle the truth. Man, you ever met somebody who can't handle the truth? Let me tell you something. You never met anyone who can't handle the truth until you meet Satan, because Satan cannot handle the truth. His ears cannot tolerate it. It drives him crazy. Why do you think Jesus quoted the Bible 3 times when he was tempted? And did you notice, and I hit on this, recently, I'm trying to remember when it was that I hit on this. It was last month when we were talking about freedom. And Jesus did not engage in a power struggle with Satan in the wilderness. He did not engage in a power struggle with Satan. He did not try to overpower Satan. He simply refuted his lies with the truth of God's word. Jesus didn't have to scream and yell and holler and get all keyed up. Jesus Christ just very calmly said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every mouth that proceeds out of God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I just love it. I mean, just very calmly just takes his stand. He just says the truth. And man, don't you know when Jesus did that, Satan went, ah! So Christian, don't try to overpower Satan. Out-truth him. Remember when I said that last month? Don't try to overpower Satan. Out-truth him. I mean, I've heard of people doing crazy things, thinking that they're going to try to overpower Satan. I mean, I've heard of people, knew a guy once that he was convinced Satan was in his house, so he started, got him a broom and started banging the walls, you know, with the broom. Going to get Satan out of there, you know. Going to get that demon out. I've known people to shout and scream and holler and carry on like a Comanche Indian, you know. Man, why have a broom? Get a baseball bat, right? But you know what you need to do? You need to very calmly take your stand upon God's truth. It's not a fleshly battle that we're fighting with Satan and his angels. It's a battle for the mind. And Satan accuses us in our minds. I'll end with this. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Let's look at one final passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're talking about overcoming this spirit of Antichrist that's in the world today. And we're talking about knowing the truth. We're talking about staying connected to our local church, that pillar and ground of truth. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 10. Look at verse number 3. I love this passage. It says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not, say it with me, we do not what? War after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Casting down, and what's that next word there? Boy, there, isn't it right here? It's the battle for the mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. That's truth. And then he says that we are to bring into captivity every what, church? Thought to the obedience of Christ. Satan accuses us in our minds. And when he talks about their casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that's speaking of satanic or humanistic viewpoints, thoughts that oppose the truth of God. And the battle is not our strength versus Satan's strength. No, it's not my strength versus Satan's strength. The battle is truth versus error. Truth versus error. And Satan's desire is to neutralize you by getting you to believe his lies, his deceptions, his wiles, his schemes. And what's the answer? Well, what does Ephesians 6 say? It says, put on the belt of truth. He said, Ephesians 6:11, stand. Put on the belt of truth and stand. It's not the idea that, well, I'm gonna attack Satan. You don't attack him in some kind of a frenzied panic. No, he said, no, you just put on your armor. And Ephesians says it, I think twice, Pastor Rob. It just says, just stand. You just stand on the truth. Stand on what you know about the Bible to be true. Stand upon Jesus Christ, who is truth. Simply stand when Satan feeds you lies. But by the way, do you have to know the truth before you can stand on the truth? Yeah. So is it important that you study your Bible? Yeah. That's why I would encourage you to, I'm preaching to the choir, aren't I? Because you guys are back tonight. But take advantage of every opportunity to learn, but then also study on your own. Study the Bible on your own. There's so many Bible study helps. There's no excuse. People say, oh, I just don't understand the Bible. You're not trying very hard. Because there are plenty of helps. I mean, just at our church alone, you got Sunday morning, Sunday night, life groups, a Bible Institute. I mean, there's so many opportunities to know and understand the Bible. Do y'all think it's going to work out pretty good for us when we stand before God one day and we say, well, God, I just couldn't understand your word. How's that going to work out, you think? It's not going to work out too good. So you know what? You need to get into the word and you need to study it. You got to carve out time each day to study the Bible, because you can't stand on the truth if you don't know the truth. So keep feeding yourself with the truth of God, and I guarantee you, you will be able to overcome that spirit of Antichrist that is in the world today. Amen, church? Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.